This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The UN warns Afghanistan's economy is on the brink of collapse. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Ashala Sripathna in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. The humanitarian disaster in Afghanistan is unfolding at fast pace with a deteriorating economic situation, meaning millions face starvation. Foreign governments and international institutions froze the country's overseas assets when the Taliban took control 2 months ago. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is hoping that the international community will agree on a plan to inject money into the Afghan economy.
We need to find ways to make the economy breathe again. And this can be done without violating international laws or compromising principles. We must seek ways to create the conditions that would allow Afghan professionals and civil servants to continue working to serve the Afghan population.
World leaders will meet virtually later today to discuss how. Earlier, I spoke to the BBC's Yogita Lamai in Kabul.
Well, it was difficult even before the 15th of August when the Taliban seized control of the country, and it's become even worse now. A large part of the reason is that about three quarters of the state spending in Afghanistan was being done through funds that were coming in from overseas. And since the Taliban took over, much of that funding, whether it's been coming from countries or from international agencies like the International Monetary Funds, much of that has been frozen because this is a government not recognized by the world. The other thing is what we've seen on the ground, where access to cash is not easy. Many banks are either closed or they're open for very short periods of time. You can't withdraw too much money, and the result that has on the economy is that the prices of everything goes up. And therefore, people who were already in a very difficult state now find themselves unable to even buy basic necessities like food.
The international community may want commitments if they are to hand over some money to Afghanistan. Are they likely to get that, do you think, from the Taliban?
Well, I think that is the big challenge in front of the G20 bloc, which is discussing this today. What the UN Secretary General has been talking about as well, we've heard very strong words from him saying this is a make or break moment for Afghanistan. And if the global community does not act quickly, the world will pay a price for it. It's in no one's interest to have an economic collapse in this country. But at the same time, I think the challenge for nations around the world is, how do you distribute humanitarian aid? How do you deliver that if you do not want it falling into the wrong hands or being misused?
The BBC's Yogita Lamai in Kabul there. A quick check-in with the markets and European indices have all opened in negative territory after a rather choppy day in Asia. So how can we make the world's big cities more affordable places to live? Berlin could be heading for a radical solution. On the same day as the recent federal election, a referendum in the German capital approved a plan to allow the city to seize properties owned by large-scale private landlords. If the measures become law, it would be a seismic shift towards a socialisation of housing. The BBC's Mike Johnson has this report.
So here's my apartment. I live in the north of Berlin.
Joanna Kuszak has lived in Berlin for 14 years. Originally from Poland, she's now a German citizen. She believes her adopted city has become unaffordable.
Around 15 years ago, after a lot of housing was privatized to financialized companies, to hedge funds, to companies operating on the financial markets, all of a sudden rents started rising very aggressively in some parts of the city. cities, the rent would have quadrupled in the last 10 years.
Joanna helped organise the recent referendum where she and more than a million other Berliners said yes to the idea of the city authorities taking control of properties owned by large-scale private landlords, with compensation to be decided.
The root of this problem is that housing is being used to speculate on the financial market. In Germany, we even have a word for it. It's called Beton Gold, concrete gold. Housing is being turned into concrete gold. The big difference is gold is not a basic need of a human being, and housing is.
The referendum result isn't legally binding, but if it does become law, almost a quarter of a million Berlin homes would pass from private to public control.
Welcome to Heimstaden. We make room for everybody.
A promotional video for one of the biggest property investment businesses in Europe. Heimstaden is a Swedish company which owns 20,000 apartments in Berlin. They'd all have to be handed over to the city authorities. Heimstaden's chief investment officer is Christian Floland.
We don't believe it will address their true problem, which is a housing shortage in Berlin. This would not add any single home to the Berliner.
Someone else who doesn't believe seizing privately owned housing is a good idea is Professor Edward Glaser, who specialises in the economics of urban spaces at Harvard University.
It is critical that we have incentives to build, and taking away private property tells anyone who would build large amounts of urban space, there's a reasonable chance that we'll take your building after you've made it. That's a surefire recipe to make sure that no one builds again.
The Berlin Senate, the city-state's governing body, must now decide if the referendum result should become law. Berliners have spoken, but will the politicians act on what they've said? I'm the BBC's Mike Johnson for Marketplace.
And before we go, fans of Squid Game on Netflix have sent sales of the show's signature green tracksuit up nearly 8,000%. Shell suits are back. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with a Marketplace morning report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.